you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, really cool dude. You might know him from The Office. You might know him from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, from This Is The End, from Pineapple Express. I mean, dude's been in everything. It's Craig Robinson. Brand new TV show out now called Killing It. Comes on the show this week. Remember, we do this every single Wednesday and Saturday live, and then it comes out 5 days later. You could hear it immediately after, live and commercial free as well, on gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. But really, we just want you to share it, get it out there, tell people about the show. But if you're a big Craig Robinson fan, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial free, at gasdigitalnetwork.com using the code SDR. You get a 7-day free trial to try it out and see if you like it, or just wherever you watch or listen, YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, I don't care. But what matters most is spread the love. Here it is right now, the Craig Robinson episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know.
It is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me once again, one of my favorite co-hosts. It is James Mattern. Where are you, James, by the way?
I'm in New York, baby.
I am in Miami in my brother's apartment. I had the most chaotic last few hours to find some sort of somewhat stable internet connection because there's no way we were not going to do this today. So excited to have this dude on. We'll say comedian, actor, singer, even author.
Badass.
It is Craig Robinson. How are you? And piano player, obviously. Craig Badass. Robinson, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I want to say first thing that I've noticed that you and I have something in common that I think is very rare, which is over 50, single, no kids. Mm. That's you and me. I don't know too many other people that fit into that wheelhouse.
Yeah. My life is awesome.
and then also... So I try to do research and look up people, watch old interviews, trying to get a feel or a vibe of the person we're going to bring on the show. And I will give you this credit. In the 6.5 years we've been doing the show, I have never seen someone that gets zero hate. In all your YouTube comments, in every interview I've seen you do, there's not one negative, like, fuck this guy. It's, Craig Robinson's awesome. Oh, he's so cool. Oh, he's so fun. Is that a conscious creation, or are you just naturally likable? Do you stifle your hate? Let me hear it, because nobody likes me.
I think you just haven't seen it enough sites.
Oh no, I've seen some. Dude, I watched like 40 interviews with you. So I mean, at that point, if they're out there, they're very hard to find.
It's I guess it's all love. I like and to say it's all love.
I tend to scroll through all the comments because you never know. Very often, in doing the show, you find tidbits of knowledge about that person by reading the comments, besides all the hatred stuff. But it's like, oh, Craig Robinson used to be a piano teacher. Craig Robinson this. And all of the other things, not one was, fuck this guy. It was all, damn, that guy's cool. Damn, he's so much fun to hang out with. I'd love to hang out with him one day. So I give you credit because in the, I'd say 6.5 years, 7 years we've done this, that has never happened. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I'm not sure you checked they pop out, jump out when I read.
Well, mine, it's the other way around. It's very easy to find the hatred. You have to look hard to find the nice comment. So
hey, I gotta say this before I forget. I'm playing Dania Beach this weekend.
Okay, you're also playing in the Borgata in August. I saw that, right? You're doing that in August 6th.
Miami now.
You're playing this weekend.
This weekend in Dania Beach, near Fort Lauderdale. So if you're around, I got you. Come on through.
You know what? I will say this. I'll bring my brother. I'll come. Are you doing Friday, Saturday?
But your brother can't come.
All right, no, he'll wait outside for me. He knows. He knows better.
Yeah,
he knows
like better. On the internet, fuck this guy.
he'll be the negative comments for you.
Come on down. I got you.
Oh, 100%. I will be there. I don't know how far you are from Miami, but I don't know what Dania Beach is. But I imagine if it's near Fort Lauderdale, it's like 40 minutes. I'm there.
Right, somewhere around there.
All right. And I'm going to tell you this now, before we get into the new TV show. It's such a stupid line from this. This is the end. But it is my favorite line of the movie. And it's such an insignificant line. But when the big demon comes at the end that, you know, inevitably kills you, you just look at the other guys. And you go, I got this. Just, I don't, it's such a stupid line, but like this big giant fucking demon lands. I just very confidently, don't worry, guys, I got this one.
Yeah, he got to that moment where it's like, you know what? Hey, the world is over. I could do something to help my friends. Let me show them. You know, I had been showing the whole movie. I am the one that went outside in the first place.
Right, that's true too. And you also did told Rihanna to take her panties off, which is probably the most important.
I sang it to her.
That's true. You did sing it to her. And that to me was probably the most important plot point of the whole movie.
Oh, she was awesome. She was unbothered. Like,
oh, that's cool.
She was at the height, you know, her name was all in the trades and everything. You thought it was a different person. She could not care less. She was she was hugging everybody. She was awesome, man.
Yeah. Man, and also what I loved about that movie is that I went knowing nothing. I didn't know you guys were playing caricatures of yourselves using your real names. I went in day one blind, and that way it was be able to enjoy it in its purest form. You know, it was, because I think if I would have known that already, it would have taken a little bit away from, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here right now? You know,
exactly. I love going into movies like that.
Yeah, that I said this on the show before, but I saw what is the movie, James? The one that the found footage, first big found footage movie.
Blair Witch.
I went in knowing nothing.
Thinking it was real, and I didn't sleep for 3 days. And the girl I was with thought I was a bitch ass for that, and we worked together after a week.
Bro.
Still hurts me, Candy. It still fucking hurts.
I saw Blair Witch, and I was, what year was that? That was about 2000, early 2000.
Summer early 2000. Yeah.
Summer 99. You don't forget moments like that, boy.
99?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Because that fits my narrative. I just moved to LA in February, right? I wasn't really settled because I was on the road and I'd be home for, I didn't really know a lot of people yet. And then I one day I went to see Blair Witch, and then I saw, Sixth Sense, two creepy ass movies, right? Bro, then I didn't even notice about myself. I'm laying on the couch watching TV or something. I heard something. And I stayed on the couch for like the rest of the night. I was like, I'm not moving. And all of a sudden, I'm worried about these movies. Made like I was scared to be alone. What's going on?
Is that a questions on that? A, were you high?
No, I was not high. No.
Okay. B, is that now?
Why do I sound so defensive? I wasn't. I swear to God.
And then B, is that something now that?
Yeah.
Is that something that sticks with you, where you're a little squeamish around going to see any sort of scary movie?
I don't know, because I haven't been.
Well, that answers it.
I haven't been. If I get a girlfriend or something, I might go. But I'm not sleeping with anybody, so I'm not going to see any scary movies.
That's really funny. That's really great. By the way, when I saw it, the crazy thing about it is it was right when it came out. It was at the theater that it premiered at, and they had set up the movie theater in the lounge to look like the campsite that where they found the stuff, and they made all these like documents like about what they found and how they found. They had the bag, the book bag ripped up, and said this was the bag where they found the videotapes. But as soon as I saw the movie ended, I was like, "There's no way that's fucking real." I just walked out thinking it's nonsense, and I was right. So that's good news.
I legit couldn't tell. I was like, "This is so." But I'm like, "But wait, how'd they get the angle so good?" Like that was that one moment where the dude said he threw the map away. That just was so real the way he said it. I just chucked it. I'm like, that's something.
It was like that old show. What was the show where they were Pimp My Ride, or one of those things where they would surprise someone that were going to do it, and no one ever realized the camera's already over the guy's shoulder in his house. He's very well aware that this is happening. Let me ask you this.
How'd you follow? And the guy was stood up in the corner. That was the creepiest thing, wasn't it?
You remember it well. It really stuck with you, huh?
Yeah, dude. I didn't move off the couch for like 9 hours. I waited till daylight. I was like, they're going to have to come kill me right here.
Oh, man. That's great. I love it. I love it.
You saw that The Sixth Sense, like within the same week, is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Sixth Sense, by the way, was the only movie. I this sounds like so shitty, but very often ice, because I'm just an analytical, logical prick. And I usually see the flaws and the plot, like, oh, that's the guy that killed or whatever. Like the old hacky thing. If you're watching a TV show and there's a really famous guy in the credits that's normally not in the movie, in the show, he's the guy that did it. You know, that's always the answer. But in Sixth Sense was the only time I saw it where I did not see that ending coming. That was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody saw that, man. When they went through it, it was like, oh.
I saw
it. He was dead this whole time.
I got broken up to in the middle of that movie. So fuck that movie.
Oh, my God. Are you serious, James?
That kid. Yeah. It wasn't a good summer for me with ghost movies, boys.
By the way, it'd be so cool if the girl leaned over and goes,
you can't be screaming when you got the girl next to you.
The girl says, James, two things. One, I'm breaking up with you. Two, he's been dead the whole time. See you later.
Yeah, this relationship's been dead the whole time, James.
Let me ask you this, Craig. I watched a movie that I believe you were nominated a couple things for, which is Morris in the Middle, right? Which I really enjoyed.
More from America.
In America, right. Sorry. I really enjoyed the movie. My question to you is, you speak a lot of German in that movie. Did any German stick with you, or you learned it phonetically, or you forgot it already? And I really did enjoy the movie, but that's the part that I was very curious about.
For the longest time, I knew, I could pick it back up if I read it through, but for the longest time, I knew it. And every time I met somebody German, I would say what I said in the movie, which is I was married, but my wife died.
Right.
And they'd be like, and the German people would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'd be like, that's dialogue I got.
That's all you know.
I have not recalled it. Ich, meine Frau ist gestorben. Yeah, well, that little part. My wife is dead. Meine Frau ist gestorben.
And you have a couple of, like, you know, casual, like, I think, like, get some beers or whatever. Like, it was like, you know, you meet a couple of, and it seemed like you were to a neophyte, that you seemed fluent. But I'm sure it was all just learned. Was it learned phonetically beforehand? Like, or you just said on the script, say, okay, this is what you got to say, and this is what it means.
Before, I studied the fuck out of that.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty wild.
I wanted to seem like I was in there. I mean, you got to suspend enough belief with me being a soccer coach in Germany. Let me at least get the language right.
Right. And the kid was great. The little kid who was loving rap.
He was fantastic in that, for sure.
Yeah, he was really good. It was a very, what's funny is I just saw a movie, like, I saw them back to back, and they were similarly themed. In there, he's a kid who loves rap. He's the only, probably only black kid in Berlin. If it wasn't Berlin, you were going to move to Berlin, and trying to relate to the world around him. And a movie that I love that, James, I was going to recommend to you, is called Metal Lords, that just came out, because there, it's a kid who loves rap in a world of EDM and electronica, not also on top of it being the only black kid, but Metal Lords are these two metal kids that are growing up in a world of EDM that nobody gives a fuck. So I just watched both of them back to back, and they're both great movies.
Wow. Well, so M-E-T-A-L-O-R-D-L, Metal Lords?
Yeah, Metal Lords. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fun. And also, those kids played their real instruments, and they're all young, and it was done really well, but similar concept of the outsiders in a high school. And it was really, but I know you got nominated for something for that, but that was a really,
I won the Sundance Award for that. And I got mentioned in an article of people who should be nominated for Oscars. I was not nominated, but it was nice to be mentioned in that. I loved it, doing that movie. I loved being in Germany. They don't mess around in Germany, man. 5 o'clock, you done shooting, period. It's a wrap. So you got to get it in there, 5 or 6, whatever it was. But we were in Heidelberg, we shot in Berlin. I had an amazing time. And there were like 3 parties. Like, when I got there, they were having a halfway movie party. A week later, we were leaving Heidelberg, so we had the goodbye Heidelberg party. And a week later, I was leaving, had a goodbye Craig party. It was.
Oh, wow.
It was ridiculous.
It seemed like everybody in that movie was legit German kids and stuff. Like, they hired locally for sure for that movie.
We were over there, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. That was just a dope experience, especially doing something like that and getting, you know, the critical acclaim or something.
Right.
You know, and that monologue I did at the end, it moved me. And that's when I love my work the best. If I can make myself laugh or feel something, I'm like, okay, I'm good with this.
And it's also, I imagine that and your stint on Mr. Robot both kind of make you want to do some more dramatic, I would imagine, because you're so deeply ensconced in the world of comedy and that's so expected. But then to see that you can pull the other side off, does that make you want to pivot more to that kind of stuff? Or are you still happy?
Absolutely. I want to do more. That's one of the beautiful things about killing it is that it's both, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those, but I absolutely want to stretch that dramatic muscle out more, you know, and just, cause it's fun to take your time, you know what I'm saying? And I even in Mr. Robot and stuff, I don't know if I took my time like I could. That's I'm learning to do.
All right, before we go any further, if you are an auto mechanic, a super cool do-it-yourself guy, some dude that just likes to work on his own car, I want to talk to you all about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. rockauto.com has been in the business for 20 years, and they make it easy for you to find the best possible prices on the parts you need. No more talking to counter guys who don't really know what you're looking for, not quite sure if they have it in stock, and then you still pay those storefront markups, but not at rockauto.com. You could find everything easily, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just some dude working on his own car. You all have the same access at the same incredible pricing, only at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy right now, head over to rockauto.com. Check out the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun just looking at the car parts. So once more, it's rockauto.com. They're so confident. There's not even a promo code. That's how strong and sure they are about their pricing. But when you do make a purchase, tell rockauto.com you heard about them on the SDR show. rockauto.com. Let's get back into it.
So let's talk about killing it. I want to tell you, again, a stupid story, and I apologize. I'm not trying to make this about me, but it does relate to this. I was up for a TV show. I shot the pilot. It never really happened. But the concept was, I have a background in cooking, and the concept was that there is a, and that's true. So it was a reality show. And there are invasive species all around the country. And this cooking show was, the idea is I would fly into that state and figure out how to cook whatever that invasive species was and try and get the local restaurants to put it on the menu. Wow. Right. That was the idea. We shot like just a little bit of it. It never got greenlit, so it didn't happen. Right. But killing it is sort of that, except instead of cooking it, you get paid to find and kill the invasive species of snakes in Florida.
Jeez. Wow. Wow.
Do I get some props for that story?
Well, that whole journey was incredible. And the fact that you connected, oh man. Yes, yes, yes. And Kelly got out. I'm a bank security guard turned python hunter.
Right, right. I saw the first episode. The rest are not available yet, by the way, but I did. They all come out on the 14th.
Two more days, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because in real life, they're overrun in Florida.
Right, because there's no natural enemies to it. That's what happens. For people that don't know, you take a pet that you think is adorable, it outgrows your fucking home terrarium, you let it out in the wild, and to quote Jurassic Park, life finds a way, and it finds another fucking rattlesnake somewhere, or whatever, python, and there's pythons in an area where there's nothing to hunt pythons.
Nothing kills them, and they eat everything.
Right.
So people are getting paid to you know, python removers or whatever you call them, and we came across this story. Luke Del Tredici, Dan Gore, the guys from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they're the ones that brought it to me.
Oh wow, that's great, Doug Judy style.
We have Brooklyn Nine-Nine writers, and we had a couple meetings, and then they came back with these three ideas that were all great, but this one kind of like stood out and was like, let's roll with it. I'm not seeing anything like this on TV.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's also bloody. It's, you know, there's cursing, which is nice about being on one of these streaming networks, is that you can say and make it feel like the dialogue is actually real dialogue. If you kill something, you would say, oh my God, what the fuck is that? You wouldn't say, hey, look over there, sir. It isn't what it is.
I kind of like G. Willikers. That's my
How do you feel about snakes in general, Craig, though? Are you okay with it? Like, is that a problem for you? Are you scared as you are of scary movies, or are you good with snakes?
Bro, so about 6 years ago, I went to, what's it called, with my band, to Australia. And we went to the animal sanctuary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up holding snakes and stuff.
Oh boy!
Oh, there we go. Oh, look at that. Yeah.
How comfortable you are with this? You're like Jake the Snake Roberts,
bro. I realized at that point, snakes. This snake did not mean me any harm. I got over my fear of snakes that day, and I realized that I've been lied to by the Bible and Indiana Jones. So it was like, these snakes are freaking cool. But here's a bigger one. Hold on.
They got lied to by the Bible and Indiana Jones. They do lie together a lot, don't they?
Yeah, they come up together a lot in the history of humanity. Wow, you look totally comfortable.
This is unbelievable, Craig.
And I also had the second best hug of my life. First one was from my mama, but then I had a hug from this one.
It's a koala. Oh, that's cool.
It's like holding a strong baby.
Yeah. Wow.
It's got those sharp claws. You ever dig a knife into your skin where it feels good? That's what it was.
Wow. We just found out Craig Robinson's a cutter. That's cool. Who knew?
Not a cutter. I said, until it feels good. No puncturing.
But I want to go back for a second on Mr. Robot. I want to know if this is true, because that is such a tech-savvy movie, though your part was not necessarily tech-savvy. I heard somewhere, and is it true that you got scammed once, like one of those stupid fucking computer scams, you fell for it? Is that true?
I don't think so.
All right, good. Well, because I saw that somewhere that said that you fell for one of those, like, someone calls your house and says you have a virus and you fell for it.
No.
All right, good. Glad to hear that, because I read that online when you were in.
Who's saying this stuff?
I don't know, dude.
I did fall for the shell game in high school.
Oh, well, that's fine. I did too at one point.
Wait, the what game?
The shell game. Like the cards. Find the queen. Same thing. Same concept.
Who does it? I mean, you're supposed to. If you don't fall for that, you're not a real person.
My brother fell for the call. When they call your house and say there's a virus on your computer, he actually fell for that, which I couldn't believe that. I'm very mad at him. That's why he's not allowed to come see you, Craig.
That's why he's got in the boot. That's why we're going to put him in a room with the snakes.
Are there real snakes on set, by the way?
Yes.
There are. So someone's handling real snakes.
Every time the real snakes are there, we have the American Humane Society on deck. But you got real snakes, you got fake snakes, and you got the CGI, which blew my mind. Because once I finally saw, because, I was in a car with a fake snake and stuff. Once I finally saw the CGI, I was like, oh, we making something hella special. Because you cannot tell.
Wait a minute. In the scene in the first episode, the only scene one, where the snake comes back alive, that was not a puppet. That was CGI?
That was CGI.
Wow, that's impressive. There's money being spent there.
I thought so, too. Yeah. It made me very, very happy and proud. I was like, oh, this is dope. Dope AF.
And the whole first season is finished. You shot it already.
Yep. All 10 episodes drop on Thursday, April 14th. The pilot is out now, but.
Right. I watched that. The rest of it comes out in 2 days. So I enjoyed it. The Australian girl who lives in her car, basically, was really interesting. She's a cool
Claudia
chick.
O'Doherty. She plays Jillian G. And yeah, she is super dope. She really, really has a grasp on who she is comedically as an actress. And her pauses, her timing is I have so much fun, man, mixing it up with her.
Yeah, she definitely is a good quirky wackadoo on the show. It comes off really good on the episode. By the way, the other thing, besides everyone loving Craig Robinson, the number two thing that comes up the most, and I see you still got it going very well, is how great your afro is. And you always give props to some woman named Jackie Brown, I want to say.
Jackie Brown.
Yeah, Jackie am I right?
Brown, make sure I'm right, Yeah. You've been taking care of the fro for about 10 to 12 years now.
That's pretty wild. Wasn't there a movie, Jackie Brown, in that? A Quentin Tarantino movie?
Tarantino. It's Pam.
Exactly right.
What'd you say, James?
Pam Grier. Done by a goddamn Tarantino. I got to get my hair cut by goddamn the bride then or some shit. Hugo Stiglitz from Inglourious Bastards is who shaves my head.
You're
Hugo Stiglitz.
James, how, if you were to let it go and say, fuck it, I'm just going to let my hair grow out. Do you have actual hair or are you just?
Yeah, I could find you a picture at some point.
I've not seen you have hair for years. I know you.
Game on.
Kid. Oh,
yeah, we're all sharing pictures here this episode.
Picture episode, buddy. Pictures and snakes, but mine aren't CGI, buddy. Hold on. Come on. Let's get a little crass humor. I don't know if this will register.
Oh, my God. Well, when is that? You look like you're 19 in that picture.
I see it, but put it closer.
I was fresh meat.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
I'm talking New York had long hair. I look like the Unabomber.
I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about circa 1993.
Getting late.
Hold on. What about this?
I couldn't get ass if I was like.
That's me.
I mean,
look at that hair.
Like you're sick for fucking
Vince. No.
That's so stupid.
Play guitar and sing like Steve Perry.
I wish. I'm a terrible guitar player and I'm an even worse singer. But I looked the part and I would pretend to be in a band. I would lie all the time. And back then there was no internet, so I used to tell people I was the bass player of the Black Crowes. And nobody knew. They just took it for face value, and I'd get laid all the time.
What did you use in your hair? Like, was that like Purell? What was that?
I used a hot oil treatments.
Mm.
Yeah, it was great. It was deep. Also, I'm 6'6", so the journey from the top of my head to the bottom of my ass is a fucking journey. That was long hair, my friend.
Greg, you know it is hair. Mr. Pink. If you have Jackie Brown, Mr. Pink, I took it too far. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had lovely locks, Craig. Not really much anymore. I got a big, you know, the five head, as they call it, and my hair doesn't grow as much as I'd like it to.
Like walking like that?
Yeah, I would, man. I would. So this is, we're talking like 88, 89, you know, I'm 52 now. And I would walk into a rock club and I could get laid within 5 minutes if I wanted to, because that was the era to have long hair. It's why I have such a delusional sense of grandeur, because during that time, I was cool. I did live it.
You lived it.
Yeah, I did live it. I did. I had a, there was a window of time where I was like, I looked like if I wasn't, the people thought I was a lead singer of a rock band, or at least a lead guitarist of a rock band for sure.
So would you walk in and just be like, you, let's go.
Dude, I swear this is a ridiculous story. There's a club in Miami called the Button South. It was a big rock club back in the day. And it's probably 1989. I'm walking into the club. As I'm walking in, there's this gorgeous girl walking out. We look at each other and I just grab her and we start making out. And that's it. That said nothing to each other. And then we started making out and I took her home and had sex with her within an hour.
I've done the make out portion of that story. I didn't go home and have sex with the person. I made out with girls on the dance floor. I think I was in Vegas. I just walked in to the hotel. Me and this girl, it was crazy.
But before you were famous or after you're famous?
This is there was some fame there, but I don't know. Yeah.
Because I had zero fame. It's more important. I think it's a more impressive feat.
You win.
Yeah, because you've been, I mean, the Office was all like, I already knew you as a comic before The Office. So you've just been part of American comedy for, I'm going to say, what is it, 30 years? Is that fair?
30? I would say, let me see. Almost. Yeah. I threw my hat in the ring in 94. So I didn't really start get any. I think I did Def Jam that aired in 97.
Okay. So you're 2 years shy of 30 years.
It's close.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's a long time.
I had in the ring. You didn't hear about me until at least 97.
Right. That's pretty wild. Yeah, it's a long time. And now you were part of a couple of very beloved sitcoms, obviously The Office and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Which one would you say you get recognized for more? Is it The Office or because Brooklyn Nine-Nine is more recent? Easily.
The Office, unless I'm in Australia, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is all they give a fuck about in Australia. Doug Julie is so tripped out. But yeah, Office for sure.
That's wild because The Office is so much older. I thought maybe Brooklyn Nine-Nine because it's so much more recent.
Well, The Office, you know, has made this crazy resurgence a couple of times. People like watch it over and over. The pandemic, they rewatched because it came on Netflix. They rewatched and rewatched. It was so it's like people are like, yeah, this is my ninth time going through it. You know, they just watch it all the way through and then start over. It's a beautiful thing.
It's pretty wild. It is wild that it's like, especially it's always on Comedy Central now too. Like there's never a time it's not on Comedy Central. Do you get residual money on that or you don't get that? You didn't get that deal when you came on?
You do when it dwindles, but yeah, okay. you do.
That's pretty wild. That's funny because I think, you know, there's not many people that could say they were part of two like beloved sitcoms that lasted multiple seasons. That's a pretty rare thing. Not to mention, he also did voices on American Dad and a few other shows. It's crazy how you weave yourself in and out and put in the serious roles too. It's a rarity. I don't know too many people that could say they're part of all that. And there's Nasty Delicious. You still doing that?
Yes, sir. We got a gig May 4 at the Troubadour.
Wow. How do you decide what week it's going to be for Craig Robinson?
You know, I have an amazing team in place, you know, so we always check the schedule, check the what's available, some things you can do, some things you can't do. But, you know, I'm ready. I'm a horse ready to run. So, you know, they take advantage.
And also, speaking, weren't you like in one episode of fucking Friends also? Am I right with that?
Yes, I was. It was the fourth to last episode of the entire series. I snuck in there, and I was a government worker, and then Phoebe changed her name. She wants to change to Banana Hammock. And I was like, get out of my line or something.
All right, before we go any further, you probably saw this on a recent episode of the STR show. It's Knotfest Beer Pit, knotfestbeerpit.com. Fans of the show that also love beer, which I imagine most rock and roll fans, most fans of STR probably do enjoy a good beer every now and then. It's knotfestbeerpit.com. K-N-O-T-F-E-S-T, beerpit.com. The beer for metal fans. Curated beers with aggressive flavors for metal lovers. You saw them on a whole episode of the show recently. We are big fans of the beer. We went through two cases there, but every month you're going to receive 8 beers from 4 different breweries. The beers are hand-selected by Knotfest music and beer curators, so enjoy some beer that pairs well with whatever hard rock or heavy metal you are listening to. Once again, it's knotfestbeerpit.com, and we are digging these beers. Let's get back into it.
And also, you have one of my probably one of the most memorable scenes in Knocked Up, where you play a very caring bouncer, I would say. And a lot of people don't know that you played the same character technically in a Red Hot Chili Peppers video. You played a bouncer.
Oh,
look at this. Look at the research. Look at the big brain on Brett.
By the way, he doesn't let Chris Rock into a party, which, by the way,
yeah, that's
kind of interesting.
You know, I saw Chris Rock outside of the improv, and he was like, yo, I want you to do this video with me. And you know what I love about Chris? He was like, we shot the video over 2 days. The first day they didn't really use me. And then he was like, today we're going to do some comedy. Like, he loves comedy. Like, you know, I was like, I love it too. But I never heard really somebody talk about it like that. So we ended up doing that video. It was cool.
When you do comedy, do you bring out your piano as well and you still make that part of your act? Or is that only for Nasty Delivery?
Every single time.
Right. Okay. That's cool. That's cool because it's like, I remember when you first started coming up, it was you, it was a very different take, but you and Zach Galifianakis kind of both played, well, you played a keyboard, he played piano, but it's same thing. Even though it was very different takes on that, it was two people doing a hybrid of comedy and music.
And kind of deadpan as well.
Yeah, exactly. And deadpan as well. So it was kind of an interesting thing. James, you look like you're dying to say something.
Well, no, I was just excited because Craig just came in at the Cellar like probably a month ago on a Sunday at the Village Underground, which has a piano and a band, and brought the goddamn house down. People were losing their minds. It was a quiet Sunday. Crowds were good, but everyone was chill. And then Craig comes down and holy shit, the place, the late great Pat Patterson, the place went banana.
Thanks, bro.
And Craig, also the next day you did something that a lot of people don't do with your status. And I just want to, is like one of the working comics there. You asked us to just, if you could sit next to us at New Joke Night. That's like nothing, like it's the nicest thing. It's like, oh my God, this dude is still one of us. God bless him. He's like, hey, you guys, and it was cute. It was like you're asking the cute girl, like the nice girl, if you could sit next to her. He was like, are you guys okay? I said, like, yeah, Craig Robinson, come sit next to us. Goddamn dum-dums are about to work on 3 minutes where we're going to get nothing in the still. It made me feel like a goddamn the quarterback in high school. Thank you. God bless you. I ride or die with you forever, buddy.
Thank you for that memory. You were sitting there. That's hysterical, bro. Yeah, awesome to me.
If snakes ever turn on you after the love you give them, I'll punch a snake right in the
James,
fuck.
I want to make something clear, James. If I ever get more famous to where I'm at a somewhat near level of Craig Robinson, you will never hear from me again.
You
I just want to make that.
I'm changing. Son of a bitch.
I have my backup phone number for the day it happens. I'm just going to switch to that number and you will never hear from me again. By the way, also, Craig, a show that I loved that I feel did not get its time in the sun. Ghosted. God damn it, I love Ghosted, and it bothers me. I think, by the way, if I want to be a little bit, analytical, the name was a mistake because people think it was about ghosting someone.
Right.
Do you think that could have been something part of it, or am I crazy?
It might have been part of it, man. I was so weird. I could go into whatever politics happened, but we having a good time making it, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they're like, the scripts aren't working, blah, blah, blah. And then they brought in Paul Lieberstein of The Office fame, Toby, to kind of retool the last few episodes, I think the last six. So that's why it turned into, we were sitting around the office kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was doing great. It was doing fine. And then I guess a new person came in to Fox and it was like, and something else had happened. Weird. It was like,
I'm not sure I'm a fan of his management style. He just comes in and goes, it's kind of weird.
They were already with promotion of something. And all of a sudden they were like, hold the promotion back. And it was like, what's going on here? So, I can't really, it was a lot of stuff going on back then, but I don't know.
Because what's funny is there's a show now that's getting a lot of praise called, I think it's called Ghosts, and it's nowhere near as funny. And it's not necessarily a similar concept, but it's a show that involves a woman that can see ghosts and, so close enough, but I don't know why, and that's getting rave reviews. I just feel like that show could have been another mainstay comedy for you, for sure. Cause I loved the concept. Was great.
What's even more hysterical is the treatment that I first saw for Ghosted could still be done because they switched everything up.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad to hear it, man. And people like, it's on Hulu now or something. So people are like, where was this show? How am I just not hearing about this show?
Yeah.
So here, get the word out now about killing it. So yeah. In 5 years, you're not like, what in the world?
Yeah, exactly. I have to say, I only saw the first episode of Killing It, and I just think it's a really fun, and you're very believable in your relationship with your brother and that all that stuff is, I don't want to give away too much, but it's what I like about it is that how you go down that path in that pilot episode to where you are at the end of the episode is very fucking believable.
Good. Thank you.
And funny and great. I'm excited to see what happens next in 2 days.
Hey, that's the number one thing is, Gilbert Gottfried died.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Oh, shit.
It's heartbreaking.
That is so sad. He's a friend of the show. I'm close with his wife. Fuck.
Jeff Ross was just telling me he wasn't doing so good. They were hoping against hope.
Oh, shit. That's really disappointing. That's so sad. Oh, well, what a way to end this, wrap this interview up. Hey, on a high note, Gilbert Gottfried died, everybody.
That's sad.
Rest in peace, man.
We're all going to be crying.
Yeah, so he...
a great comic.
My mother used to book a comedy club in Manhattan years ago, and he used to play that club. So I've kind of known him indirectly since I'm 10 years old, but I never stayed close to him. But he ended up doing my show a couple of times, and I got friendly with his wife last couple of years, but man, that sucks. That really does suck.
Brutal.
Yeah.
All right, before we go any further, if you're over the age of 21, the newest vape pen that I know Big J loves and everybody around the Gas Digital Studios love, it is MePod, mepod.com. That's MIPOD.com. Now, just so you know, they do contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive, that we know. But if you're a vapor out there and you're looking to up your vaping game, the new MePod 2.0 is the best refillable vape on the market today. Vapers can refill with any vape juice flavor that they prefer. It's got a long-lasting battery and a small, sleek design. Jay often talks about how much he loves the way it feels in his hand. I think he thinks it feels like a ding-dong, and that's probably why. They got a ton of cool flavors, vape juice options, and flavored disposables. MePod also has a wide variety of vaping options for all those 420 customers out there. MePod also provides fast shipping on most orders, are even out the same day. So if you're a vapor or a smoker, you're going to love MePod. And just remember to always support the sponsors that support our show. Head on over to MePod.com. That's MIPOD.com. Use the promo code SDR. You're going to get 15% off your entire order. That's mepod.com. The code is SDR. The discount is 15%. And now let's get back into the show.
Yeah, well, let's try to end this on more of a high note than a sad note. Shannon, maybe we should do the first.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask every guest this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll. And what I mean by this is the first concert you went to on your own volition, not necessarily one. I know Earth, Wind & Fire is your favorite band, one of my favorites. By the way, Earth, Wind & Fire, my first concert ever, on a side note. But the first concert you ever went to?
You know what? I think it was the Jacksons. One of my was a kid. I think it was the whole family was there in Indiana, and my parents took us. And you know, I remember feeling. I remember Michael Jackson said, "This was for the ladies," and I was like, "Oh," but I think that was the first concert I went to.
Oh, okay, fair enough. And how old did you say you were?
Man, I was maybe 7 or 8, somewhere around there. Okay.
And now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed was not your first drug, because usually it is.
Oh, no, weed was the first drug. Oh, man. It had to be, let me see. Was it Molly? Is it Molly or Coke? One of those.
Molly Coke was one of those. And how old were you?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, fair enough.
Weed was in college. And then everything else was shortly after that.
Okay, fair enough. And now the first.
You know what? It was probably. No, wait. Oh, wait. So I'll come back to me now. I didn't try Coke till I was like, 5 years in LA.
Oh. Well, that's unbelievable to go 5 years in LA.
I wasn't into all that then. Then I was really into it. But it was 3 years after. But, yeah, I remember the first time I did coke. I remember saying the words, "I'm taking somebody's bitch tonight."
That's very believable, by the way. For a second, I was about to give you my bitch.
I might try it tonight just so I say that. I just want to own it. If I'm going to do it, I don't think I can own it without being all snowblind.
Hey, you going to the Village Vanguard party? The comics?
Tonight, yeah.
I'll see you there, man.
Oh, go. Oh, you are in town.
Yeah, I'm in New York.
Oh, great, bro. Uh-huh. Yeah, man.
And then this is the third one, the sex.
Sex. Well, the first time you had sex.
14 years old. I was a freshman.
14's young. That's young.
I was a sophomore. I was a sophomore. 15.
Okay. Okay. And was it a girl you were dating? Is it a girl you just met? Is it something that was planned?
I think I cheated on my girlfriend. Okay.
So your girlfriend wouldn't put out.
But it was a girl who we've been flirting, and then I got her to my house, and wow, I had no idea what I was doing, but I was good.
You were good at whatever you were doing.
I was good at whatever I was doing.
And was it one off with this girl, or did you see her again after that?
I think we had another a session after that.
And then did you explain to your girlfriend to stop being so stuck up and put out because now you're a ladies' man?
I did not.
A couple of other quick things before we wrap up. There's a scene with you and Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down, another phenomenal fucking show, where Will Ferrell is talking about his plums, and it's an outtake that if no one has ever seen that, just watching the three of you together, it's one of the best like 5 minutes in television, I feel.
He was trying to murder us. he didn't care about a take. Will, he didn't care about, all he cared about was killing us, and it was working. And imagine trying to stare in Danny McBride's eyes while Will Ferrell is improvising.
It was such a great scene. If you've never seen it, just go on YouTube and look for Danny McBride outtakes. I mean, Eastbound and Down outtakes with Will Ferrell and you guys. It's one of my favorite. I go back to it every once in a while because it's just such a great few minutes of comedy. It's beautiful. All right, so now, I know you're in that new movie, The Bad Guys, that's out in theaters now. you have the
Which
Killing
like
It,
like a Tarantino flick for kids.
For kids, and I don't know much about it because it's in theaters. It's not in streaming, so I didn't get a chance to see it as part of my prep. But I believe you play a shark that wears lots of disguises.
Master of disguise, yes.
Yeah, and one of them I saw a scene where you screamed that you're having a baby or something.
Yeah, he had to make a distraction, so he was he had to have a baby on site.
And then I always loved the will they won't they relationship of you and Peralta on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That was one of my favorites, I have to say. I love that show. I'm sad that it's gone. It was a great show.
We were like 2 5-year-olds. You ever see two kids just come together and start playing? It was the world of imagination.
That was great. It's such a great series. It's at Mr. Craig Robinson and MrCraigRobinson.com for the dates. As you said, you're going to be in Florida this weekend, but go up there. I know the Borgata in Atlantic City in August. The Bad Guys is in theaters now. Killing It is on Peacock, and the entire series comes out in 2 days. And then I read also that you're filming another animated series, and I forgot where it is, but I put it down somewhere, and I don't have it. God damn it. I'm usually so prepared.
You're fired from your own
show. I have no idea what you're talking about, by the way.
Oh, let's see if I can find it here. Let me see here. I can't find it. Oh, wait. No, I don't have it. Oh, well.
You're doing another. What's something about the aardvark?
Yeah, the aardvark. That's what it is. The aardvark one.
Ant and the aardvark.
Yeah, there we go. See, I'm not crazy.
Is that like a remake of the old Pink Panther?
No, it's an animated.
Yeah, but the Pink Panther, they used to know, but the animated Pink Panther.
I know what you're talking about. I don't think it's that.
Jackie Mason, who did the voice. He'd be like, I know about the ants.
Killing It and the Bad Guys.
Killing It, by the way, I love the first episode. Anything else you want to plug before we go around the room and plug?
That's it right there. Thank you, brother.
All right, James Madden, your plugs, please.
All right, man. The James Madden on Instagram. My album, The Check Spot, is available on vinyl now. It's me doing stand-up while the audience pays their bills. It's the worst part of the comedy show. Go to pinchrecords.com to get the vinyl. And then June, we're releasing the special. It's in black and white. It's totally different. It's just the best thing I've ever done. So check that out. And listen to me and Shuley on Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing, where we talk to comedians about hell gigs and bombs. Yeah, baby. Boop, 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 right. Boop.
By the way, I found it. It's The Ark and the Aardvark with Aubrey Plaza, Jenny Slate, Rob Riggle, and Craig Robinson. There we go. I found it. All right, Shannon, your plug, Shannon.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, and including musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, comedians, and they tell their stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
All right, now, Craig, do not respond to this, but I'm very curious. Until we get all our answers locked in, does Craig Robinson believe in ghosts? It's interesting, since he was on a show about it. He already told us he scared the bejesus out of himself by going to see some movies. So, James, you lock in first. Does Craig Robinson believe in ghosts?
This is so easy. I'm going to do a sports reference. You won't get Ralph, but I think Craig might. This is so easy. This is James Worthy, 18-foot baseline, 1988. It's a swish. Yes.
All right, don't answer, Craig. Shannon?
James.
So I think Craig is going to be one of the people who is going to say no. And he's going to say no because deep down he does believe in it, but he doesn't want to face it because he's too scared. If he really exists.
That's a really complicated answer.
Unbelievable, Janet. God bless.
I am going to go with yes. My answer is yes. I feel it's yes. I want to say no, but I think it's yes. Craig, what is the answer?
1,000%.
Okay, there we go. Yes, I'm not surprised. And then
big game,
before I do my plugs, you also wrote a book called Jake the Fake Keeps It Real. Is there it was called Book One. Is Book Two ever coming out?
We're up to the third book now.
Oh, look at me fucking up one time finally. I made one mistake in the whole hour. God damn it. All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast on health and wellness.
Co-wrote with Adam Mansbach.
Okay, cool. And there's three of them out now.
Yeah.
You can follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness with the founder of Juice Press is called The Good Sugar Podcast, currently in the top 100 of health. And our new first location, New York City, is opening in, I think, probably late spring, early summer, on the corner of 3rd and 69th Street. Honestly, dude, just a real pleasure to have you on this show. Just fun. And I'm going to try and talk my brother into waiting outside to see you this weekend in Florida. And then we end the show every week by adding a song to our playlist. You want to add an Earth, Wind, and Fire song? You want to add a Jackson song or whatever you want to add?
I'm going to have you add Fantasy, but look, hit me up on IG so I can get your tickets.
Okay, I will.
I'm at Fantasy by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, it's a great one. It's a great one. I saw them live. Do you see them live a few times? I already saw them five times once in a year or something.
I've seen them at least 20 times now. But yeah, one year I followed them around on tour. I go see them, you know, when they're in Vegas and whatever. But yeah.
But not, what's his name is still alive, but the other singer, Morris, right? Passed away.
Maurice.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah,
but Philip Bailey is still alive.
Yeah. Philip and Ralph Verdeen.
Yeah. Look at me knowing my Earth, Wind & Fire history. I saw them on the System of Survival tour. That was I'm a little. All right, we'll see everybody next time on the SDR show. Peace.
Have a good one.
Listening to the SDR show.